Father, that Psalm 139's, it's from your very heart as you're sharing with us concerning our lives, concerning every human being. For each and every one living on this planet Earth that has lived, that will be living, Father, you've created, you have a destiny, you've got purpose. And that's why we're coming together this morning, Father, for you to share with us, to awaken within us a deep, deep, powerful love, your love for mankind, to know the power of the blood of Christ Jesus that has paid the price to redeem us out of the dominion of darkness and to bring us into your kingdom, that we may know you and walk with you and experience the incredible involvement in our lives and our participation with you in touching lives and just working together in the most incredible way that bears much fruit. Thank you. Thank you for our life. Thank you for us being alive. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your salvation in redeeming us. We want to ask that you will show us the salvation of families. You want to ask that you will show us the power of destiny for family destinies and to awaken that up, Father, that we may really be aware of what you have purposed for families and generations. And we ask this through your son Jesus and in his mighty name. Amen. Amen. I want to read first of all from Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to spend a bit of time there today. And I want to just read a scripture to speak a little bit of what I believe God is really sharing with us today in how he has prepared us for a moment that we are in now, right now. And some of you may be experiencing and become very aware of the preparation that our Heavenly Father has done over a period of time. And it's like, it's a moment for fruit. It's a moment for breakthrough. It's a moment to be able to see the work of God doing in our lives, to begin to see the evidence of that in a tangible way. For others, you might not recognize that yet, but as we go through this morning, it might be, okay, now I understand what God is actually doing in my life and begin to recognize and embracing the preparation work that he's busy doing in our lives. And so here in Ephesians 2, I'll just read verse 10 and then I'm going to go to another few scriptures. But in verse 10, first of all in the NIV version here, we see we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we notice over here that God had prepared in advance these good works for us to do. This good works, the word over here for good works, is that which originates out of God, because he alone is good and is empowered by God. And that's why in John 15, when we looked at that last Sunday, abiding in him, we bear much fruit. Okay, so this is the good works that God has prepared for you and I to do. So it's necessary for us to be pruned by our Heavenly Father because we are abiding in Christ Jesus. And these are the good works. And so our Heavenly Father, the great gardener, has done a lot of pruning and preparation work so that now in the new season, we can bear a tremendous amount of fruit. In the Passion Translation, let me read that one in the Passion. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. We can understand when we speak about sin, because sin is rebelliousness towards God. It's lawlessness. And we are born, we were created, and with this Adam nature. So let's go then, and I'll repeat myself for that which hasn't been recorded. But let's go to Psalm 139. That's the song that we sang right now. But let's just read it through. Because we're looking at the good works that God has predestined for you and I. We're understanding something about how God has created us and formed us. And so David is just really in the place of worshiping from the revelation of why he exists and the incredible work of God. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going. This, in another translation, you perceive my thoughts from afar. That it says that God knows before we even think what we are going to be thinking. We can't understand these things, that God is so incredible. Can you imagine the power of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from every evil thought before we even conceived it, before we even began to think it, the almighty sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus. We don't understand salvation. Truly, we don't understand what it means to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the fullness of that. And it'll be good to ask the Holy Spirit to take us deeper into the depth of salvation, the power of the redeeming blood of Christ, the reality of a new life in Christ Jesus. That's part of the preparation work that God is busy with in giving us deeper understanding, because he so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. So we carry on and we read, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. How many times do we try and pretend God's not seeing and we try and hide from God? Ah, boy. We try and fool ourselves. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. This word hem me in is basically how God protects us. He's got boundaries around our lives. And I don't know about you, but I've found in my life that I'm going in a way before I was saved, going in a way that could have been extremely destructive, but somehow there was like a hedge. And how God kept me, and now, there's the consequences of all of that, but it didn't end up to a tremendous disaster, how he hemmed us in before we even got realized how much God loves us. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. What a deep sense of security, knowing what it is to be loved by God, and knowing that he has predestined us for good works, knowing these things. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And that's part of the prayer, is that we will know this full well. This incredible creation of God, us, we will know it full well. It'll just open up so much. Oh, what can I say? We will begin to love living because we know how much we are loved by our Heavenly Father. Such a different mindset when we begin to understand these incredible truths. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place,
When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so we're looking at this Ephesians 2 verse 10, which unlocks this truth to us, what Christ has done with his blood, so that that which is written, you and I are able to fulfill that, our God-given destiny. And how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. And then he carries on over there and ends up with search our hearts, O God. So we begin to see something profound here, that we're not just living for the sake of living. We're not just a product of whatever, whether it was intimacy in a love relationship, or there was sex, rape, whatever it may be. We're not just, we were created and formed by God. Speaking to someone during the week, and just describing a little bit of their background, and we just said to the person, consider this, it'll change your mind concerning your mother. Your mother's womb was an incredible place that God used, this holy place where you were created and formed. You can praise God for your mother's womb. You can praise God for your mother. It changes the attitude towards parents, because we're celebrating parents, because we understand Psalm 139 and the joy and how God has created us. It's just different, and we need to help people that got such issues with their parents to begin to understand how God used your parents to bring you forth and to begin to have a new way of thinking and to start celebrating life again. In John chapter 15, we looked at last Sunday, but let's just look at this verse 13 again. We saw there in verse 13, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. So here we see once again, as we mentioned, that Jesus is saying, listen, you are my friends because of my great love for you. So because of my great love, and I've laid down my life for you, I now call you friends. Jesus is saying, you are my friends, built on the reality of his incredible great love. And that's why when we looked at that word if the other day, he says over there, if you do what I command. And this if, remember, it's not conditional if. It's not up, you must obey you in order to be your friend. No, this is the evidence. This is the reality of my great love. I've given my life and I've called your friends. Okay? Now the evidence of this is that you will obey me. And there's no greater joy than for you and I, from a love relationship, to obey our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not as a slave. There's fear. When we know and we're living in this great, great love, there's no greater joy than to say, yes, Lord, because you know it's so safe, it's so pure. And what Jesus, our friend, our Savior, our King, our Lord, communicates to you and I, you know it's the best for our lives. He's an incredible friend. And so we say, yes, Lord, because it's like that. On a side note, when Jesus is giving the Beatitudes, and he speaks about taking an oath, and he warns us from taking oaths. He says, don't take an oath whether it's heaven or on earth. Don't use the temple. Don't take oaths, because we don't know if we're able to keep those oaths. But he says, rather, do this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, instead of taking an oath, rather live a lifestyle where your word is your word. Let your word be your word. Live a lifestyle of truth. That's a bit higher calling than taking an oath. We all look at marriage covenants, take a covenant oath, and that. And look what happens. Look how many divorces there are. Look at things like that. But if we live a lifestyle of truth all the time, there wouldn't need to be these kind of things. Because we are people of truth.
And so the Holy Spirit as part of the preparation might just be the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to expose falseness within so that you are a man and a woman of truth. You will speak truth all the time. And that could be part of the pruning, the preparation as the Holy Spirit is sharing these things because we're moving to a moment for fruit and he's dealing with anything that might try and contaminate that fruit to be pure and good that people can taste and see that God is good. So he's dealing with these things in our lives. And so when our word is our word and that we will say yes to Jesus because we're living a life of truth. We know how much we are loved by him. We know that what he shares for you and I in his word is absolutely good for you and I. It's the best for us. And so we can yield and we can obey him because we are so secure in his great love for you and I. He gave his life for us. And that's what we looked at last Sunday. Consider the cost. Ask the Holy Spirit again. Lord, take me into the reality of this deep love of Jesus Christ. And Paul prays for that as we looked at last Sunday. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to grasp the depth, the width, the height, the length of this incredible love of Jesus Christ as part of the preparation that the Father has been doing in our lives. You might be in a place this morning when you're realizing that somehow you're looking at people differently, you're loving people differently. For somehow, when we're looking at praying for families, for instance, your spouse is not the enemy anymore, or your children is not the enemy anymore. Or children are looking at their parents and saying, but my parents aren't the enemy anymore because they have a deep love. That's the work of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, preparing us for a moment like this that we're now in. So again, what can we recognize the preparation that our Heavenly Father has been doing in our lives? Because it's about, almost can hear the command to say, go and advance the kingdom of God in a particular field. So we're listening to the Holy Spirit. He's preparing for you and I all the time. Busy earlier this morning, just understanding the journey of the Israelites into the promised land and the kings that they had to deal with. And the first king there, they had to deal and God gave strategy and then there's a second king, the king Og, he's from the area of Og, and that was another giant. And sometimes we've got these giants that we've got to go and face in order for the breakthrough of the fruit. And the Holy Spirit's preparing us to deal with the giants. To get rooted in the incredible authority of Jesus Christ and dealing with anything in our lives that will try and hinder us and our past memories that will try and say, no, you're not good enough. How can you go and do this? Look at your family. Look at your past. Look, you divorced, whatever it may be. How can you dare even think about advancing and seeing family saved? See, that's a giant. That's a stronghold. God is preparing and giving strategy to deal with these strongholds so that they won't trip us up. We can go with confidence in what Christ has done in his powerful work on the cross to redeem families and have taken us out of darkness, who we are as a new creation, so that as a new creation we can fulfill the good works that God has predestined for you and I to be doing at this time. Different way of thinking. Prepare the mind for action, as Peter says in 1 Peter. Prepare the mind for action. And so we're looking and identifying these things. And so as we've been going and we looked at last Sunday, let me just repeat that. I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that he will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you.
So we notice here that the way, one of the ways that our Heavenly Father prunes us is through His Word. His Word is alive, it's sharp, it's active, it penetrates. Nothing is hidden, everything is exposed. And the Holy Spirit's been sharing specific words to you and I. He's been communicating the Word of God to us, showing us things. That's part of the Father pruning us. Why? So that we can be more fruitful. Because the moment comes, we've all been driving around in town, and like 2 weeks ago the trees were barren, now all of a sudden there's leaves. Suddenly, a moment, burst forth. And this is where we are. Suddenly, all that hidden work of the Heavenly Father within us, suddenly there comes the blossom, there comes the fruit, there comes the manifestation of the incredible work that the Father's been doing in our lives. And we need to recognize this. We need to be having our minds geared. And Lord, thank you that you are pruning me. I recognize, I thought you were just doing this to me, but I recognize what you are doing, and I thank you for that. For some, you might be in a situation where you have people that are nasty with you. And you could become very offended, oh, blah, 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 blah. But stop. Recognize the Father's pruning so that you can outgrow that nastiness and not allow that nasty words to hold and mold you and keep you captive. It's pruning to grow beyond that. See, look at things differently. The Father's pruning, making us strong. You see, a little twig cannot bear much fruit. We've got to be strong in Christ Jesus to bear much fruit. And if we are little weedy kind of things, you know, moaning and groaning, and this one said this, and this one said that, or blah, 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 how can we bear much fruit? Unless the Father prunes and cleans us so that we become strong in Him, be rooted in Christ Jesus, grow up in Him all the time, as the Word of the Holy Spirit is sharing with us as we walk with Him in these particular areas. For some, we might be in whatever. It could be financial difficulties. It could be health difficulties. It could be whatever. Whatever you and I find ourselves living in life. And we could look at this and we can say, oh no, woe is me. Or we can look at it and say, Father, I recognize you are pruning me in this situation. You are making me strong because I'm going to be fruit for your glory. See? In every situation, rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks. Every situation. So we will go back to Romans chapter 6 again, where we saw over there, love. Present your mind. Offer your mind to become a weapon of righteousness. Because now I'm recognizing before my mind will be a weapon of destruction and unrighteousness, and I will go and moan and groan and become self-pity. But no, I'm not going to offer my mind to that direction. Here's my mind, and I recognize, Father, you are pruning me. Because there's a destiny. There's predetermined, predestined works for that you placed in me to do to bring you honor and glory. And I recognize what you're doing and I embrace it and I thank you. Sing a new song, in other words. And no longer singing the old song, woe is me, my ship is sinking. Whatever. Yeah, the Titanic. Sing a new song. God, fruit is coming. Thank you. Just being strong, giving our minds to become instruments of righteousness. Letting our voice, letting our tongue become weapons, weapons, weapons of righteousness and not of destruction, of running and criticizing and judging and all those kind of things. Let our words full of grace, let our words bold, let our words carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's crucial as we learn how to pray for families. Because sometimes our words are more moaning and groaning and from a place of anger and all kinds of stuff and not words of life, not words
that carry the righteousness as a weapon to destroy the unrighteous behavior that is taking place in the families. Oh. So, have we embraced the preparation work of our Father? Because it's time to advance. I don't know if any of you have watched that movie, David's Household. I think it's David's Household or something like that. It's Hollywood, but the events are very biblical based. But you know, in Hollywood, you've got to add in all the other stuff over there. And now David is going to face Goliath, but he goes and he. You know, he goes, he first goes to King Saul, and you know, everybody's mocking him and all that there, you know, his brothers and that. He goes to King Saul, and King Saul sees this little David guy in the movie, and it's like, who are you kind of thing? What have you done? Tell me, who do you think you are? Everybody's terrified of this giant. You know, if you'd lose, all of us are going to become slaves. There's a lot over here. On the plate. And David began to speak to King Saul in the movie, and it's very real, and he starts to speak about the covenant God has made. He starts to speak about God. He starts to speak about God gave me victory in this, God gave me victory in that. And King Saul and everybody else is, oh, you know, but King Saul somehow recognized this man, this young kid has got a faith in God that's going to carry us through. Despite the giants, despite the massive army, I recognize in this young man a faith in God. And this is where we are. God has been pruning us so that there's a faith as we take over a town, as we advance the kingdom of God in the town that God has placed us. There's a faith of what Christ has done. There's a courage, there's a boldness to go forth. And to see families saved. So, let's be prepared. And here we see what Jesus says over here. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And we see that, and this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So just quickly back in Ephesians 2 again. Let's just read there from verse 1. And it's interesting in verse 10, it speaks about the good works. It's plural. Because there's many, many good works that God has predestined for you and I. It's not just one time. Here now there's a moment for that to break fruit. Soon we're going to be pruned again, and then there's more fruit. Again, there's going to be more and more fruit as we get more understanding and revelation what God is saying. We see that in the parable of the sower, those with a good heart take in the word of God. He said, again, you are clean because you took in the word of God. You take in the word of God. God has been working in our hearts. What's the parable of the sower? Then you'll bear much fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he goes before the parable of the sower and he says to the disciples, I'm giving you revelation of the kingdom, and if you receive this, I'm going to give you more. And so the Holy Spirit is going to share more. We're going to have good hearts. We're going to grow. We're going to be more fruit. And it's a continuation of being pruned and being much fruit, but staying in the reality of abiding in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here speaking to Gentiles over here, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. You and I were there. We could not fulfill God's destiny. We could not bear the fruit that God ordained us because we were rebelliousness towards that. We were following the ways of this world. And I think lots of us could share the fruitfulness of the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient,
And all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts.
And remember in Romans chapter 8 that this sinful nature cannot please God. It cannot do that because it rebels against God.
That's reality of it. Now, but we get born again and this would took place. But because of his great love,
what did we read in John 15? No greater love than this, and to lay down your life for a friend. Once again, in this great love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Goes on. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And that began when you and I got born again. That's why the fruit that shows this incredible riches of God in his son Jesus coming, he displays us for his glory. And he carries on over here. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Praise God that we were born where we were born. Praise God that we are in a town, we are in a city, we are in a nation that he's placed us in. Praise God that we can experience and recognize, God, you're pruning me. These trials and these things that have taken place. Thank you, God, that now I've taken that mind that was negative. I've taken this mind and now it's becoming an instrument of righteousness. And I'm receiving the truth that this is to help me grow and to grow stronger than that, so that that doesn't rule me. But now I begin to be able to go and walk with you, Jesus, because when we're going forwards, I need to know what it is to be strong. Otherwise, all these little things that used to bother me will continually bother me, and I will start with fire, but I will just whoops and go back and hide into my little corner and woe was me kind of thing. So he's helping us to recognize the pruning so that we can advance the kingdom of God. So now we understand when Jesus says that forceful men and women take hold of the kingdom of God. You see? Forceful men and women. Because we've learned to surrender. We've learned to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We've learned to realize that this, as we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is my true, authentic spiritual worship, it's not about being a minister. It's not about being in the church. It's about life. Living wherever we are. I've offered myself today, Lord, I'm your living, your weapon of righteousness. And wherever I am, I'm not going to be intimidated by all the, what people are saying and things like that. No, I'm the weapon of righteousness. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's God's weapon, God's instrument in dealing with the unrighteousness. And because of the gift of righteousness that you and I have received from God himself, we have become the righteousness of God. We are his incredible righteous weapon. Renew the mind. Renew the mind. Where God has placed us, Lord, thank you. But in saying this, you and I will face persecution. Can't deny that. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. See, it's just going to be a reality. But because we are growing strong in the Lord, you recognize persecution, I'm not going to go, woe is me. Persecution, you're pruning me. You're making me stronger. I'm rising above that persecution. And I'm blessed. Different way of thinking. Strong army of God. Strong army of God. Strong in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are. So you're ready for the moment. Do you recognize the pruning of God in your life? I think we're honest, we can say it hasn't been easy. Pruning and The Holy Spirit exposes deep hidden motives that we didn't realize we had. But he's dealing with foundations in our lives. Are we rooted in Christ Jesus? And anything in our lives that is not rooted in him, the Holy Spirit exposes, because it's a crack in that foundation. It's not rooted in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul prays that prayer, that we may be rooted in his love. We may be established in his love. Because everything from then onwards, only his love is strong enough and pure enough to enable us to bear much fruit for the glory of God. So, army of God, welcome to the moment to advance his kingdom in the towns, the places that we are living in. Amen. Father, thank you for a moment like we are in. Thank you that you have worked in our hearts, Father, so we might be looking at giants in family, we might be looking at giants in the bloodline, we might be looking at giants in family destiny, we might be looking at the giants in every area. But today we can look at them and smile because of you, Jesus, that has triumphed over it all. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, we're in a place, Lord, where we can take and offer our minds, where our minds will no longer be an instrument of unrighteous thinking, of lies and deception, of preconceived ideas and monsters and all these kind of things. Our minds will no longer be a weapon, what ifs, and we start to have arguments before anything even happened and we're having these imaginary arguments. No longer will it be used for that, Father. Our minds are a weapon of your incredible righteousness, so that we may discern your ways, we may hear you speak into our spirit, we may have the mind of Christ. And we want to thank you for the power of your blood, Lord, that is cleansed. Today, Father, as we in the place of final preparations, I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes our conscience clean. That none of us live in guilt, none of us live in regret, because of the power of your blood that has cleansed our consciences, Lord, that we may serve the living God with a clear, clear conscience. So thank you for the blood, Lord, as we have communion this morning, part of us just celebrating the power of your blood. Lord, we are asking that none of us, Father, as you lead us, as we follow you, Jesus, into the battle in advancing your kingdom, that none of us will be the people that will be tripped up by the enemy that will come and accuse us. Because it's the blood, the testimony of your blood, that we come and we come against all forms of accusation. Because all that accusation, Jesus, was you nailed it to the cross, that the enemy cannot accuse us any longer. And I'm asking that we will be strong in you, Jesus, in your incredible work and what it is to be a new creation in you. So open this up in the final hour of preparation before the mighty battle and the victory and the deliverance of families taking place. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we ask that in your family, the different churches in our towns, we are asking, Father, that they will recognize, we will all recognize the mighty work of preparation that you have taken, has been taking place, so that we are able to receive, we are able to be able to help folk to live out your incredible predestined plan and purpose, so that as a body of Christ in a town, a body of Christ in a nation can bear much fruit. What are the works that you have predestined for your family in South Africa now to burst forth and to become tangible, So we thank you for the preparation work that you've done, Father, in pruning and cleansing us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. As we drink and we eat, what a privilege to eat with you, Jesus. And I'm asking that you will share your story to each one of us in the coming days. Share your story. Share the reality of what you have done. Share who you are. Often we see in the films where before a battle where the commander will ride a horse up and down and he will speak and encourage the army. Lord, on your incredible horse with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Won't you communicate and communicate to your body of Christ in this nation? Share with us. And this I'm asking today, Father, through your Son Jesus, that we as your family will bear much fruit. And whatever we ask in his name, you will do it so that you are glorified. Amen.
Amen.